From NPR News in Washington, I'm Korva Coleman. President Obama is meeting for a second day with 47 world leaders discussing how to prevent nuclear terrorism. NPR's Mara Liasson reports he is pushing a two-track strategy.
President Obama is calling for all the countries to work together to secure loose nuclear materials. He laid out the threat in stark terms this morning as he opened the meeting.
Just the smallest amount of plutonium, about the size of an apple, could kill and injure hundreds of thousands of innocent people. Terrorist networks such as Al-Qaeda have tried to acquire the material for a nuclear weapon, and if they ever succeeded, they would surely use it.
And the consequences, the president said, would be a catastrophe for the entire world. Perhaps even more important than the focus on nuclear security in the summit meeting are the one-on-one talks the president is holding on the side. He's trying to overcome the reluctance of countries like China and Russia to agree to a set of tough international sanctions on Iran, which is moving quickly towards building its own nuclear weapons. Mara Liasson, NPR News, The White House.
West Virginia Governor Joe Manchin is attending an emergency meeting of a state board that writes mine safety regulations. This meeting comes as recovery teams have taken the last victim out of a devastated West Virginia coal mine. 29 coal miners were killed in an explosion last week at the Upper Big Branch mine. It's the deadliest coal mine accident since 1970. Investigators are just beginning to go into the mine to learn what went wrong. Some voters in Florida are choosing a new representative today. Voters north of Miami and in parts of Palm Beach and Broward counties are voting for a successor to Congressman Robert Wexler, who's retired. From member station WLRN in Miami, Phil Latzman has more.
Democratic State Senator Ted Deutsch of Boca Raton is considered the favorite in a district which voted 65% for President Obama in 2008. Deutsch's challenger is underdog Republican Ed Lynch, a contractor by trade, hoping to pull off the upset by making the election a referendum on the president's health care reform package signed into law last month. Independent Jim McCormick is also on the ballot. The District 19 seat, which encompasses parts of both counties, is comprised of about 40% senior citizens. Turnout is expected to be low, though, and those who show up will decide who will replace former U.S. Representative Robert Wexler for the final 7 months of his term. The popular Wexler resigned in January to lead a Middle East think tank in Washington. Another election for the full two-year term will be held in November. For NPR News, I'm Phil Latzman in Miami.
Israel is urging its citizens who are visiting Egypt's Sinai Peninsula to leave immediately. Thousands of Israelis are there. Israel's anti-terrorism unit says it has solid information about a terror plot intended to kidnap Israelis, and it's urging people not to take chances. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrials are up 9 points at 11,015. You're listening to NPR News. The vaccination against the swine flu virus has passed another safety test. NPR's Joanne Silberner has more.
In 1976, after an outbreak of an H1N1 swine flu in the U.S., millions of people were vaccinated, and several hundred came down with a rare, paralyzing condition called Guillain-Barré syndrome. Whether it was happenstance or the vaccine has never been determined. Now researchers are reporting at the current meeting of the American Academy of Neurology that the number of Guillain-Barré cases among people who were vaccinated this time around is low. They analyzed data from the Food and Drug Administration and determined that there were 62 cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome for every 10 million H1N1 vaccinations. That's a lower rate of the syndrome than among people who got the regular seasonal flu shot, and it's well within the expected range for the population, vaccinated or not. Joanne Silberner, NPR News.
Polish officials say late President Lech Kaczynski and his wife will be buried this Sunday. They were killed over the weekend in a plane crash. 94 other people died when the jet tried to land at a foggy airport in Russia. The service will be held at a cathedral in Krakow. Thailand's prime minister is remaining in military barracks as thousands of anti-government protesters fill the streets of Bangkok. The protesters want the prime minister to quit. He won't. The standoff has lasted for weeks and has now taken a new turn. Yesterday, Thailand's election commission ordered the prime minister's ruling Democratic Party to break up because it illegally concealed campaign donations. Now the head of Thailand's army says a political solution is the only way out of the predicament. This is NPR.